After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and whatever wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. A friend told me that the most useless Christmas present he was given last year was a 2020 planner. He was joking, but he was also making a depressing observation. All those spaces in the calendar normally filled with events and commitments were either left blank and empty or cancelled. 2020 has given more to the authors of history textbooks than it has to the writers of diaries. In an article in The Atlantic entitled The Year We Lost, Joe Pinsker writes, for all of its eventfulness, 2020 has for many been a lost year. In several senses of the word, on top of an enormous loss of human life, the pandemic paused many people's progress on long-plotted family and career goals. It forced countless celebrations and holidays either onto Zoom or completely out of existence. And it warped many people's sense of time, causing month-long stretches to seem interminable in the moment, but like they passed in a blip in retrospect. Well, in a few days' time, 2020 will be history. And as we look upon the next year, you may be wondering, what will it bring? Can I have any confidence that next year will be better than the last year? Maybe as you look back on last year and think about the next, you have doubts in your heart. Will God come through for me? Can I trust God that he knows what he is doing? Will God follow through on his promises to always be with me? Today, we're beginning a series in the first few chapters of the book of Joshua. Like us, Joshua is on the cusp of something new. The Israelites are on the edge of the promised land. Their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness has come to an end. But we're told in the very first sentence, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses was a colossal figure in the Old Testament. It was through Moses that God led the people out of slavery in Egypt. He was their leader for 40 years. Moses was the intermediary between God and the people. Through him, God spoke to them, giving them the law and the commandments. And Moses was God's friend. But now Moses is dead. And Joshua is probably thinking, well, what now? What does this mean as we go into this new chapter, this new era? Moses is no longer with us. Is God still with us? Can we walk forward with any confidence into this new chapter? And the resounding answer all the way through this passage is yes. Over and over again, as Joshua looks to the future, God says to him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Now, God's character remains utterly unchanged. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And as we look into our new chapter, this new year, we can have the same assurance that God gave to Joshua. And so as we look at this passage, we get three lessons. The promises of God don't change. The presence of God can be assured. And the obedience to God is the priority of God's people. So, firstly, the promises of God don't change. Now, as Moses' era has passed away and Joshua's leadership begins, there's the question, what new purposes does God have for his people? And the answer is none. If you look from verse 2, Joshua is told by God, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, when you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites, I'll give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. God's purposes haven't changed. God tells the Israelites to go into the land and occupy it. What he promised to Moses, he will give to them. Now, at this point, we're probably thinking, where do these promises come from? You know, the Bible is a collection of 66 different books, but there is a common storyline that goes from beginning to the end of the Bible. At the beginning of the Bible, God expels Adam and Eve out of the gardens because they disobeyed him. But that does not stop God from working to give them a place where they can have security and peace and rest. And in Genesis 12 and 15, God appears to Abraham and makes incredible promises to him. Remember, Abraham and Sarah are old and they do not have any children. But God makes these promises to Abraham. He says, I'm going to give you many descendants. And your descendants, I will give a land and they'll become a great nation. And I will bless the whole world through you. These are the promises. And God made the same promises to Isaac and to Jacob and to Moses. They're like a thread that runs throughout the whole story of the Bible. And God worked at fulfilling these promises. At the very beginning of the book of Exodus, we're told that God had fulfilled the first promise. Abraham's descendants had become exceedingly numerous. That first promise is ticked off. But then at the beginning of the book of Joshua, God confirms to Joshua his intent to deliver on the second promise. That he tells Joshua to take the people to cross the land into the Jordan and to take what he has promised to Moses. And by the time we get to the end of the book of Joshua, the writer can look back and see on all the ways that God has delivered on his promises. He says in Joshua 21, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side. Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. You know, God is so unlike us. How many of your promises do you actually follow through? Not one of God's promises fail. Now, where this lands for us is that God has promised you and I an even greater rest that he gave the Israelites. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 11 these incredible words. He says to them, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This rest that Jesus was promising his disciples is eternity with him in God's presence. Amidst everything that God can give us, and he has given us, this is his greatest promise, ultimate rest and security and peace in him. And what God promises, he delivers. In Hebrews chapter 6, we're told that the promises of God give us hope, an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You know, when I was growing up, my father had a boat, and we used to go offshore fishing a lot, a place south of Sydney called Sussex Inlet. And we used to go fishing a few kilometres offshore, and I had a few jobs on the boat. I had to bait the hooks, untangle the fishing lines, and I had to, where possible, avoid getting seasick. But the most important job that I had was to let down the anchor. You see, you had to let down just enough rope so the anchor could hit the bottom and grab onto something. Otherwise, you could drift away. We could drift away from our good fishing spot. We could drift further off into the sea. The anchor made you secure. Now, the book of Hebrews says that everyone needs an anchor. We all have to have something that we say, if I have this, then I'm safe. If I have this, if my soul rests in this, then I can be secure. Now, if this year has taught us anything, it's that nothing is secure. You know, we make our plans assuming tomorrow will happen exactly like today. But then along comes something like COVID, which threatens everything. It puts a pause on all your study plans. It robs you of your income or maybe even your job. It reminds you that you're incredibly fragile, that even your good health you can't take for granted. I heard someone describe our situation like this. It's like we're all on this little piece of rock called Earth, spinning through space at 100,000 kilometres an hour. And even if we don't hit anything, then at any time, this trapdoor can open up beneath us and we can fall through. It's called death. And underneath is either the eternal arms of a loving God or absolutely nothing. Look, I don't know where you go to get your security, your job, your resume, your family, your health insurance. Hebrews is telling us that the only place where we can have real security is in God. Only God is sovereign. Only God is eternal. And only God will fully deliver on his promises. Second lesson, the presence of God is assured. Again, God says to Joshua in verse 5, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them." Now, God says to Joshua, "I will be with you." Now, it wouldn't have escaped Joshua that God said the exact same words to Moses when he met Moses in that burning bush. At that encounter, Moses wasn't the strong and courageous leader. He was incredibly intimidated by the task that God had given to him, to confront Pharaoh and to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. Moses was full of excuses. He was reluctant, saying to God, "Send somebody else, don't send me." But God had given to Joshua the same task, to lead his people, and he had given to Joshua the same assurance, "I'll be with you." And the task ahead was immense. The last time the Israelites were on the edge of the promised land, they sent out spies as reconnaissance to check out the land. But all these spies came back and said, we can't do it. We can't take this land. It's too fortified. The people are too big and strong. And they rebelled against Moses and refused to go in. Only Caleb and Joshua said, we can do it. God can give us the victory. Now, even though the task of taking that land was immense, God didn't say to Joshua, it's all up to you. You know, you must have the wisdom and military skill and acumen in order to overcome the tremendous odds that are against you. Great victories are brought out by great leaders. It's all on your shoulders now. Off you go. Be positive. You can do it. Now, God doesn't say that to Joshua. Instead, he says to him, I will never leave you or forsake you. As God had been with the people before, so he will continue to be with them and he will win the victory for them. Now, you might say, well, you know, that's fine for Joshua. He'd actually seen God do incredible things. He was there when the plagues came down upon Egypt. He saw the crossing of the Red Sea. And, you know, Joshua is this special guy living in a special time, fit for a special task. I'm different. You know, there might be times where you feel utterly alone, that no one understands your burdens, your struggles, your anxieties, the temptations that you're going through. And maybe you think, well, Joshua got this direction and guidance from God because he was commissioned for a particular task. Of course, God was going to be with him. It was clear for him, but it's not clear for me. You know, I don't know how to heal my marriage problems. I don't know how to help my son through his problems. I don't know how to deal with my own character flaws or to break these bad habits that I'm in. I don't know where my next paycheck is going to come from. But the thing is, you and I actually have more assurance of God's presence than Joshua ever did. God said to Joshua, I will be with you. But in Jesus, God turns up in person. When Jesus' birth was announced, Matthew's gospel said he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, when you go through your troubles, it's great having someone to give advice. Advice is helpful, but it's so much more comforting when there is someone who is with you in your mess. Or even more, someone who has been through that mess before, who's traveled that road before you, who knows what you're going through. If Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, then it means he's traveled our road before we did. He knows everything that we're going through. He understands. He's been there. He knows the burdens which seem secret to everybody else except for you. You can bring those burdens to him. But he hasn't just been through the same troubles. He's triumphed over them, over all of them, over temptations and trials, over misunderstandings and betrayal. He's been through every darkness that you could ever possibly go through and more. He even went through death for you. And all the way through, he was obedient. Therefore, you can trust him. You know, often when people go through suffering, they want answers. God, how could you allow this? And I'd love to know all the answers for why suffering happens. But God has given us what we really need. Without this, all the answers would have actually been no help. He's there with you. He knows what you are going through. He is there with you. The last few words of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Therefore, we can trust him no matter what we're going through. Third lesson, obedience to God is the priority of God's people. And we're shown this in two ways. First of all, God reminds Joshua about the centrality of his word. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Notice that before the Israelites go into the promised land, God doesn't give to Joshua all these military instructions. He doesn't give to him 10 tips on how to be a successful leader. All he says to him is, I want you to follow my word. That's all I want from you. You know, God doesn't withhold from his people the formula of success. No, he says, obey everything that I've commanded you and it will go well for you. You know, do you see, God is not giving to his people something which is out of their reach. He's telling them the way forward to success and blessing and for their flourishing. You know, often in the ancient world, people believe that divine wisdom, the secrets of the universe, the meaning of life, what happens to you after death, all these secrets are just inaccessible to people, too remote, because gods or the gods hide their secrets. They keep them close to them. And so all these ancient pagan myths and legends are all about some warrior or gifted leader who travels to the heavens or the far side of the ocean, goes on some quest in order to discover these secrets. You know, a few chapters before our passage, in Deuteronomy 30, in Moses' last words to the people, he says, what I'm commanding to you is not too hard for you to find. You don't have to go into the heavens or to cross the seas. No, the word is very close to you. It's on your mouth and it's in your hearts so that you may obey it. You know, God had given his people the commands. He descended down upon Mount Sinai and he spoke to them through Moses. He made everything accessible to them. And it was like Moses saying, you know, you don't have to be an investment guru or an elite scientist or a sophisticated artist in order to have the secrets of life. You don't have to go to Oxford or Cambridge. It is all here. It is all here within your hands, ready for you to take it and obey it. And all the laws, how to relate to God and relate to other people, can be summarized really easily. I'll do them for you. First, love God and make his will a priority before your own. Second, love your neighbors and always act in their interest rather than your own. In other words, prioritize loving God and loving your neighbor before looking out for number one. And thirdly, if you do all these things, you'll have such a rich and fulfilling life because you're not guarding your own hearts. You're not looking out for your own self-interests. What would a successful 2021 look like for you? You know, having your travel and work plans restored to you? No more social distancing or restrictions? God is most interested in your obedience. That is what success to him looks like. That is what matters most. And if that's the case, shouldn't we do all we can to get to know God's word and follow it more thoroughly? As God said to Joshua, to meditate on it day or night, to stray from it, neither to the left nor to the right, not to stray. So obedience comes from keeping God's word central. But secondly, obedience means commitment to God's community. You may have noticed that half this chapter is basically a strange reminder that Joshua gives to some of the people. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had already received their inheritance of land on the east side of the Jordan River. They had what had been promised to them. And this whole part of the chapter doesn't really make sense unless you realize that these people had already pushed back against Moses previously. They'd said to Moses, well, do we really have to cross the Jordan with all the other people in order to conquer the land? Do we really have to go and help them? We've already got what we came for. And Moses was furious at them because they didn't want to keep their commitments to their fellow Israelites. It was a case of, Fong Fei Gai. They didn't want to commit, keep their commitments. It was like they were saying to God, God, we've already got what we've wanted from you. We're not so concerned about your people. We've got our rest. We're not interested in helping the others get theirs. Now, Joshua, in this chapter, was reminding them of their commitments. They've got to deliver. And happily, they said, we will do it. In verse 16, they say to him, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Their obedience to God, their commitment to God, was shown in their commitment to God's people. Sometimes we underestimate Christian community. If you're a Christian, you're not just called into a deep relationship with God, you're also called into a deep relationship with God's people. Like he did for the Israelites, God has won us the victory. We didn't have to do anything to achieve it. It's all done for us through Jesus, and God will bring us to that ultimate place of rest. But we're not there yet. And like he did for the Israelites, God calls on us to help one another get to that rest. We're all supposed to connect with one another and help one another along the way. And we do that through serving others, using the time and the gifts that God gives us. We do that through deep involvement in our small groups, connections, deep connections with other Christian people. We do it through generosity, using God's resources for God's purposes. It is absolutely inconsistent for us to say to God, I've got from you what I needed. I'm not interested in helping out your people. Now, of course, at the moment, deep community for us is difficult. We've got these necessary social distancing restrictions, but after a while, they can loosen our bonds. We get used to not seeing each other on Sundays or during the week, and we fall out of good habits. Last week, I went cycling with my family, and because I was using muscles that I hadn't used before, I got a little bit sore. There were some muscles that were getting used again that hadn't been used for a long time. Because we're not meeting physically with one another, there are some muscles that we're not using that are atrophying and diminishing. But when we resume, those muscles need to be used again. And you might feel a little bit sore. It's tough to build good habits where you're being obedient to God and serving those around us. But they're absolutely necessary for your spiritual health and our mutual flourishing. 2020 is almost done. The new year is a few days ahead. You know, we go forward into this new year not knowing exactly what is to come. But we have God's promises. We have God's presence. We have the help of God's word and God's people. And God's words ringing in our ear, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And so we commit ourselves to God in faith and obedience, come what may. Let's pray. Lord God, every new day brings us one day closer to the return of your Son, Jesus. We confess that, you know, we often use our days for ourselves to advance our own agenda. Lord, forgive us and help us to recognize that everything we've got, every new year that we're given, is a gift from you to be given, to be used for your purposes. And so guide us, Lord, in the year ahead. Grow us in faith and trust in you. Help us to trust in your promises, to draw close to your presence, to get to know you through your word, and to serve and encourage your people. We need your help by your Spirit, Lord. So guide us and use us, come what may. Help us to do everything for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.